Welcome to the SIS Off the Charts Football Podcast. I am your host, Bryce Rossler, and I am joined once again by my colleagues at SIS, Alex Vigneman, James Weaver, and Matt Minicharian. How are we doing today, fellas?
Doing good.
This is a little earlier than usual for me, the time of recording, and it is a little later than usual for Alex. How is the jet lag? How is England? How is the food?
The food has been fine. I haven't had any bangers and mash or any of these sorts of things. And jet lag is no longer, I've been here a few days, so no longer relevant. But I've already consumed my first cricket match and watched some football, the other kind of football. So I am integrated.
How was the tea?
I've had many spots of tea, I would say.
Spots?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like a spot of tea, you know?
Okay, no.
Yes.
All right, so today we are gathering together. We're going to play a little game. We are going to attempt to identify, or pick rather, breakout candidates for the 2024 season. The rules are that the players who are eligible for this exercise cannot have made a Pro Bowl or have an offensive or defensive rookie of the year award honor.
Oh, is that added? I didn't know that one. I think I'm still okay.
Yeah, I think I'm still okay, but
I don't know anybody that's made the Pro Bowl, and I don't know anybody that's offensive or defensive rookie of the year. So I totally get some of my picks rejected here.
The nice thing about this, though, is that it is sort of like somewhat aligned with your intuition, right? There might be some guys who like made it in on like, you know, they're the third guy in line or something like that. And we might be somewhat forgiving in that case.
I'm not going to be forgiving at all because Wikipedia exists and you can be like, I like this guy. I want to make a case for him. And then you can easily cross-reference his Wikipedia page. So we might be doing like some forfeiture of draft picks here.
Ooh, that's fun.
I sweated a little bit there because I do have somebody who has had votes for offensive rookie of the year, but did not win. So,
well, that just feels like cheating. All right. So the draft order is Matt will go first. Alex will go second.
I'm going last.
No, you're going first. I'm extremely fair. The randomized order is what it is. I'm not going to flip it on you just to snipe your inevitable first pick. So we have Matt, Alex, James, Bryce, and then we'll snake. We'll do three turns through the order, and then we'll call it a day and move on with our lives. So Matt, with the first inaugural breakout candidates pick, who are you taking?
Tyler Huntley.
Oh, this is good.
My opposite pick.
Oh.
He should never, ever make a Pro Bowl or be in consideration for that sort of thing.
And right, I forgot about that. Good Lord. Tyler Huntley catching a straight. Good Lord.
He made the Pro Bowl, so he's got to deal with the injury.
Trubisky also got one, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was one of those cases.
Right,
anyway.
Double-checking this pick of mine. Where does it show if they made a Pro Bowl? It's on their Wikipedia page because I don't see any reference.
I like checking Sports Reference because it has
Wikipedia, like, yeah.
The little star next to the year in Pro Football Reference tells you if it's a Pro Bowl or not.
Let me double-check my first pick.
Yeah, doesn't it also list, like, the award on the right side?
Yeah, it does on the right side, too.
Okay. Or it does, if they have no awards, it doesn't show up at all.
This defeats the purpose of having guests on. The purpose of having guests on is so that I can do minimal prep.
I'm just trying to make sure that I got this right, because my pick is Rashawn Gary. Like, I was just double-checking, like, this guy's never been in a Pro Bowl? What?
He was on my list.
That's the first pick. It's not even a good pick. It's not even like, if he just is as good as he was last year, he should make the Pro Bowl. So,
and if I recall correctly, was he in someone's top 10 edge rusher? Yeah,
but he's on the field. He's a really good pass rusher.
Yeah, so I think if you can get somebody in this kind of a draft who we already think is potentially one of the 10 best players in the league at his position, it seems fair.
He was an alternate last year, was the caveat.
He doesn't have a star next to his name.
Nope.
Yeah, Matt doesn't know where to find.
I'm looking at Pro Bowl because he's just right now.
I'm sorry, looking at the list of alternates.
It seems like a pretty good pick.
Exploring the rules, but yeah, he was on my list as well, but he was a little further down my list.
Matt, do you have any hot takes?
My supporting evidence is that he's Rashawn Gary. I mean, he's very good if you look at him over the past few years by our statistics. He's one of the higher like pass rate over expectation players. I feel like I know some of his metrics just off the top of my head at this point because he's always on the leaderboard there. So just like catch up, Pro Bowl voters. I don't know.
Yeah, but he's been like a 9 sacks a year guy, which hurts.
Right, never double digit.
It's hard to make a Pro Bowl without getting sacked.
But I'll make the astute analytical bet that somebody that's creating all these pressures above expectation if he stays healthy, this seems like a high likelihood Pro Bowler this year. So I'll take it. If that qualifies as a breakout, this is his first 10-sack year, and that's a breakout, 9.5 sacks be damned.
Yeah, fifth in pass rush total points last year, too. Like, CC as it gets.
All right, Alex, you're on the clock.
I'm on the clock. Okay. So I have no way of judging what types of picks will be, like, desirable or not. But I feel, I guess I'll go with the thing I wrote first. So I technically have two players written here because their arguments are extremely similar, but I'll pick Jaden Reed, which is funny because we're now going very Packers heavy. I could have also said Dontavian Wiss because their stats.
Oh, I know what stats Alex is using. We're extremely using yards per route run.
Yards per route run are within 0.1. Total points per route run, identical to 3 decimal points. They, my like pet analysis that I like to refer to for the draft is if you are a Power 5 player who is in the top half of press, of yards per route run against press and yards per route run not against press, you have like a 1 in 5 chance of being like a pretty good player in your first 2 years. And if you don't have those qualifiers, you are like a half to a third as likely. So the types of names that we're talking about are like T. Higgins, Devontae Smith, Chris Olave, Jamar Chase, Brandon Ayuk, Garrett Wilson, Drake London. The next name on the list in terms of productivity through his first 2 years is Jaden Reed. Obviously, he only has 1 year, so that's sort of like the opportunity there. Had a pretty good year. Both he and Wicks had very similar years, drafted by the same team in the same year. Reed has a little bit more, you know, the draft capital argument and that sort of thing. So I guess that's why I lean him. I also lean him because we have had a higher grade on him coming out. We had him as a 6'4", as compared to Wicks with a 5'9", and obviously the draft capital ended up being sort of similar to that. And after the bye week last year, Jordan Love was like top 3 in passing total points per play. So, and obviously that was a big talking point during the playoffs, was that he had really sort of arrived as a passer. So I think that offense is arrow pointing up. And a big part of that is the infusion of skill guys that they had last year.
All right, so this has become a Packers podcast.
You got another one?
Oh, that'd be great.
Well, we're 2 Packers through 2 picks. So
yeah. Apparently, I have multiple guys from the same team that is not the Packers elsewhere on my board. So,
All right, James, you got George Pickens. I'm feeling George Pickens here.
No, I'm taking the obvious receiver candidate of Drake London.
So I did mention Drake London, and I thought about it, but I felt like I wanted to go like a little bit lower because I feel like London has had more. He's had a couple of years of being like pretty good, but it's a very. I mean, the argument is pretty clear for him.
I mean, looking at anybody on the Falcons' offense, they're like basketball team of weapons. Now all of a sudden, having theoretically competent quarterback play,
yeah,
I could see that. He was one of the names that I didn't write down from their offense, but I have a couple other on my, my little notepad.
Yeah, James, what do you got?
900 yards in 2 seasons, or in both seasons, close to 1,000 with inept quarterback play, inept offenses. Sky's limit for him with Kirk coming in. Obviously, everyone knows what Kirk Cousins can do when he has his full slate of weapons. Yeah, I think it's a pretty no-brainer there.
So in looking at this thing I did for Reed and Wicks, London still retained like through the first 2 years, he's I think top quartile in both yards per route run with against press and not against press. So like he's still good on a per route basis. It's just that the quarterback play has not been great. So like yards per route run theoretically accounts for that, right? Like if they're just not getting the ball to him, then that's gonna hurt. But they also were just like so run heavy. And they might still be run heavy, but that is less justifiable this year than it has been in the past years.
Yeah, obviously big body, downfield threat, better offense, better volume.
All right, I am up. I am going to also cheat with an already established receiver going into their third year. I'm going to take Chris Olave from the New Orleans Saints. So Olave's hit 1,000 yards receiving both his years in the NFL. He's gotten a lot of volume in terms of targets. I think he doesn't get as much attention because he has not scored a lot of touchdowns. But this is a very good player, and I think his usage like inside of the red zone and in terms of his end zone targets is a bit aberrational when you look at his overall usage profile. So only 10 end zone targets
in 2023. Very middling number there. Only 27 targets inside the 20. He gets a lot of deep targets, a lot of 20-plus yards downfield. He ranked 7th in the NFL in that 2023 with 30. And he also had some issues with the balls that were coming his way. Like, his on-target rate was below average. So I think if this is a good player, like, he's already, despite how young he is, I think he's pretty far along his development curve. I think if those, even if just some of those numbers in terms of how he's used rebound, I think he potentially has a year where he pops off for like 13, 1400 yards and 8+ touchdowns. Receivers who don't score touchdowns don't make the Pro Bowl.
It's interesting. There are a lot of receivers that come to mind that like could be in this conversation. And now I'm starting to get like afraid of choosing any receivers in this draft because there's only so many Pro Bowl slots, right? Like, it's like all these guys can't become Pro Bowlers, which maybe explains some of the reason why Olave hasn't been one yet.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so many slots. There are, you know, at least multiple of them. But yeah, it's a fair point. But also, you know, that might mean as much about guys who are on the back ends of their career leaving space open. But it's a good point that if we have three guys who are newly minted Pro Bowlers, that would put some pressure on the backside of the list.
Okay, so on the turn back around, I easily could have made this my first round pick, but I wasn't going to because I hate the Packers. I have Devontae Wyatt. And I'll tell you, so first of all, in terms of advanced pass rushing metrics, he is very good. He ranked 2nd in pressure rate among defensive tackles, just behind Chris Jones in 2023. He was 9th in pressure rate plus minus, which ranked 1st among defensive tackles in 2023. I'm admittedly fudging my typical minimum snaps because he only had 296 pass rush snaps. My usual is 300, but I'm going to count it. And this is a very quick, powerful, explosive player. I think he's already pretty good at rushing the passer from a technical standpoint, working half man, and he hasn't gotten a ton of opportunities to do it. The other thing is they have a new defensive coordinator this year, and I think the new system will suit him better because he's more of like a one-gap guy, disruptor, fly off the ball, and last year they're doing more like lag technique and stuff. The new staff has already said that they're going to cut him loose this year. He had 5.5 sacks last year. And in terms of his like pressure to sack ratio, that wasn't anything crazy. So he's sort of trending along where he should be in terms of how many sacks he should have, given how many pressures he has. So I think with more usage, a new system, third year in the NFL, a guy who was pretty raw coming out, didn't play a lot his first year, I think there's still a lot of upside there. So, and in the NFC, there's going to be a vacant Pro Bowl spot at defensive tackle because there are no...
Ooh, interesting. I like that theory.
So give me Devontae Wyatt. I like that player a lot. I hate that he's on the Packers.
So Packers over is what I'm hearing.
There's a Packers pod. I do like the strategy of going after the vacancy in the Pro Bowl roster.
Yeah, it's pretty good idea. Especially when, you know, Matt, to your point about the number of slots, like receiver has more slots than anybody. And so the impact of losing one eligible player is not necessarily as relevant. But
I don't know. It's that, but also defensive tackles who get sacks make
goals.
It's fairly straightforward. And like Quinnen had 5.5 last year. Dexter Lawrence had 4.5. So if he sees more usage and he keeps up his pressure numbers, you think that everything will fall into place and he get like 8-9. And at that point, you're talking about guy people want to vote to the Pro Bowl, especially on a team like the Packers.
To what extent do you think that the team being potentially better and therefore putting opponents in a position to throw more and that sort of thing, does that matter?
Oh, I didn't even consider that angle. I thought you were going with like the players on good teams get voted to the Pro Bowl.
No, I think that's totally... Yeah. I totally buy that. I think that just in terms of like, not in terms of the voting logic, just in terms of production, like being on a team that's going to be better than it has been the last couple of years.
That is not something I had considered, but I am
I can only imagine it would only help. I don't think it would hurt.
Although it would not help his pressure rate plus minus. But I am not expecting that to be part of too many Pro Bowl ballot decisions. But we'll get there.
All right, so we're turning it back around. James, you're back on the clock.
Sweet. I am sticking on the defensive side of the ball for a player that moved teams over in Alex's favorite team of the world in Bryce Huff.
Ooh. Interesting. Because he broke out, but not quite enough.
Yeah, he had 11 sacks last year. So hit the double-digit sack mark. Was 11th in pressure rate plus minus at 5% above expectation. So there's still even some room there. 20% pressure rate last year, 3.4% sack rate. So sticking right in, filling the spot of Hassan Reddick, him and Nolan Smith on the other side in a Vic Fangio defense of getting pressure with the front four. I think there's going to be an opportunity for him to kind of shine and get a high sack number in Philadelphia.
Yeah, there's there was less churn on their defensive front than a lot of people expected, but certainly enough that there is some uncertainty there, but there's still that team's always going to have a bunch of guys that they rotate through. They're going to be good. They're going to be good as a team. They're going to be good as a defensive front, which means that you're not seeing double teams and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think this is a pretty good in the same sort of, it's not the same vein as Rashawn Gary because Gary is more established, but in terms of a guy who was right on the other side of a Pro Bowl nod, this seems like a good pick. And I am pro this result.
Yeah, hard to argue there. He's definitely somebody that pops on our metrics, especially last year. He was really productive there. It's a question of the fit and what that defense exactly looks like. But I'm pretty optimistic about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent on that side of the ball, so can see if he can take advantage of some one-on-ones and things like that.
It's very funny that we're a collective of nerds by trade, and for two picks in a row, we're taking some smaller sample guys and extrapolating their production, and we're just the arrow's going to continue to point up. Bye, bye, bye.
I mean, I think that's, we're not, as much as we are nerds by trade and whatever, we are also humans. It's fun to do that kind of stuff.
And so, humans only think linearly.
Yeah, we don't understand non-linear relationships.
And three of us on this pod are also American.
So we definitely believe the arrow always goes up.
Infinite growth. Alex, who you got?
Who's who I got? So I don't think there's a chance that I get sniped on any of these. So I don't think it matters too much my order. So I will continue I'll just go down my list here. I'm going to go with Martin Emerson Jr., the Browns cornerback. Exactly. So third round pick in 2022. And my method here was basically find a guy who's starting this year by our depth charts, who has not started previously, and who has been above average.
Right, so Alex is exercised because there's so many opportunities for Alex to outsmart himself.
Oh, yeah.
Inferior picks to the rest of us. I love this.
Yeah. This is, and the first one was a more obvious, since I literally named multiple players who after the guy that I took. But I also, I'm trying to be in perhaps the spirit of the concept as opposed to the letter of the rules. We wanted the rules to be simple and understandable and intuitive, but that does leave some room for very good players to be available. And I don't care.
My mom puts together her Final Four bracket and she's like, Gonzaga is a nice word. And then she ends up winning.
Yeah. So basically I went through that process and I found two guys who actually qualified for this, which I found pretty surprising that there wasn't quite as much of guys who are certainly getting opportunities to start when they hadn't previously and had been pretty good in small samples. But that said, he was targeted a decent amount last year. He qualifies among the top 50 cornerbacks in terms of players who had at least 50 targets. And last year, he was 10th in total points per play. He was 16th a year before that in terms of boom percentage allowed, the percentage of plays that are at least one expected points added. He was 6th last year, 9th the year before in terms of deserved catch rate, which is sort of a measure of adjusting for whether throws were catchable by the quarterback or whether they were dropped by the receiver, sort of catch rate allowed. He was 11th last year and 7th the year before. So he's been a pretty good player. He also had a handful of picks, which obviously is relevant for the total points aspect of this, but the other stuff, the other metrics make me more confident that he's an all-around player, and the interceptions aren't necessarily going to be the most that they're not swinging his value so much. But obviously, if you're going to make a Pro Bowl sort of surprisingly, you're going to need those interceptions. And at least he's shown that he can get his hands on the ball.
I will say this. If he has a breakout year this year, you get extra points for that. That's like, yeah, you deserve like all of the accolades.
I was surprised how productive he's been, not just this past year, but the year before as well, for a guy that we all would just say, who? So good on you, Marty.
Marty, yes.
I feel like if you're betting on corners with higher pressure rates up front on that team is a nice, those can work in tandem with one another.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point. I was thinking in the reverse way of like, oh, this guy already had 4 picks, so he's probably going to be terrible next year. That was something I thought about, but we're pushing through. All right, we've finally come back to Matt.
So, wow, you guys definitely hit on a few things that have me very interested. I think I'm going to go back to the well at defensive tackle, though. Similar reasoning to you, Bryce, when you shouted out that Aaron Donald retirement. Specifically, I learned from this that the AFC is stacked at defensive tackle. Chris Jones, Quinnen Williams, Christian Wilkins. They have quite a few players, DeForest Buckner, that are probably locked in, Matabike, to those Pro Bowl spots, unless there's a crazy performance. But where this came down to me was on the NFC side, where I thought you made a good choice there, Bryce, but I wanted to either attack your team and Aleem McNeil or Alex's team, where I'm actually ending up, and Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
Jalen Carter just barely second in Defensive Rookie of the Year last year. Definitely not in the spirit of the Alex, oh my God, if I'm right about this, it'll be good. But I think this guy's going to make 10 Pro Bowls and it starts this year. So to me, didn't get as many snaps last year on the field, so that they kind of like worked him in as far as that goes. But above 11% pressure rate, I think. Not tops in the league in terms of pass rush total points. He's 11th, 12th in terms of those rankings. But love the player. Absolutely think that as he brings in James's buddy on the outside to help with the pass rush there, it'll only open up more for them. And I think the Eagles finally got real about addressing some of their weaknesses on the defensive front this offseason that I think will only make Jalen Carter that much more valuable. So love the player. Thought about Aleem McNeil there because talk about like more of a, yeah, this guy was like kind of breaking out last year and you could see it. But in terms of, I think one of these guys is a perennial Pro Bowler, you know, now that Aaron Donald's out of the way.
So we have multiple Eagles, multiple Packers, multiple Georgia defensive front, defensive interior guys. I don't know if that says anything, but it is interesting among just 8 players that we have that much similarity.
This is like an old setting the edge episode.
All right, so I'll switch over to offense again for my next pick, my last pick. Had some thoughts about this one, you know, looking at the depth charts. I thought AFC running back was an interesting place. To me, if Devon Achane was healthy, he's the best running back on Miami, and Mostert was the one that made the Pro Bowl last year. So I could see that just based on how ridiculous he looked carrying the football and how fast he is. I also thought about going back to the Falcons and the Falcons offense. Bijan Robinson is in contention here. And Kyle Pitts, I think, is interesting too when you look at what, like the Cowboys tight end Ferguson made the Pro Bowl last year. So Kyle Pitts is interesting there to me. But just like Jalen Carter seemed too obvious to ignore, I got Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh, okay. We did not specify that the player had to have already been in the NFL. So this is technically legal.
Marvin Harrison Jr., I don't need to say anything else.
It's right. Yeah, I mean, you're right. You don't. Yeah, I don't think that we were saying you that way, but it is legal. So you're good.
Guys that haven't made the Pro Bowl that are going to make the Pro Bowl this year? Yeah. No, I think he's slotting into Arizona. I think the vision of his career is similar to the vision of Larry Fitzgerald when he came out of Pitt. Just a sort of prospect that's on that kind of level. Hard to see him failing. Ball winner that can help Kyler Murray because Lord knows, you know, he needs that guy that he can just throw it up to DeAndre Hopkins style when he's in trouble. So I think that he bails him out there, and I think that he's everything advertised. If Marvin Harrison Jr. is a bust, which is different than a Pro Bowl, non-Pro Bowl, but like if he busts, then like I'm reevaluating everything in my life.
This is cheating.
All right, so then give me Bijan.
Then that's fine.
Do whatever you want in your spreadsheet. The audio medium.
Well, we're probably gonna, you know, write a companion article.
Write an article? Well, then you guys can slander me accordingly.
Yeah. We'll put many asterisks.
How was that dive into the College Football Data Hub or Marvin Harrison?
It turns out he's good.
Interesting. What I never thought.
All right, Alex, put us back on the honorable path. Okay. Well, I was almost inspired. I had a couple of running backs, and you mentioned the AFC running back picture, but I don't feel like as sold on the backing of my point. So I'm going to go more back. We're going back to defense, back to the NFC North. Jaquan Brisker of the Bears. James knows him well, I'm sure.
Yep.
Second rounder, 2022. We had him as a 6'8 grade coming out of college. So like solid starting level grade. And this is mostly a play for safeties having a lot of opportunity for getting their hands on the ball. And he's already shown that he has the ability to do that. He was second in the NFL in hand-on-ball percentage. So things like pass breakups and forced fumbles and fumble recoveries and that sort of thing. Second among safeties this past year in terms of just pass breakups aspect of it. Brian Branch was first. So this is sort of like the mold of player, I guess, that.
Yeah, but Brian Branch is not really even a safety.
Yeah, I understand. But that's a fair argument, right? So then he is first among legitimate safeties. Like he's playing deep.
Among legitimate safeties.
Yeah. He's playing
he's deep. A cheat code, so he doesn't.
Yeah. He's Brisker's playing deep like 60% of the time. And he dropped 4 interceptions last year, which, you know, you could see as a bad thing, but if those turn the other way, if we're talking about like Matt, the idea of like the arrow, you know, the arrow goes up, or I guess Bryce was saying the arrow goes up and we, in a small sample, we just keep assuming that it's going to stay that way. This is more of he had some misfortune last year, so he'll bounce back this year.
He has a high hand on ball percent. Like,
yeah.
LL Cool J.
Yes. So, and then Brisker also, you know, rush the passer a little bit. You're not expecting him to do it a ton because he's not like a box safety, but he generated pressure almost half the time he came after the quarterback. And if, you know, came down with, like, I think 2 half sacks while doing that. So like if you get a couple of the, you know, a couple full sacks a year and some interceptions and some forced fumbles and all that kind of stuff, it sort of adds to a nice statistical profile that people can really easily appreciate.
The Bears also going to be better this year.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable assumption.
Did maybe the Bears get a little bit too optimistic about the second half of their season defensively last year? And like, I know everybody's like taking victory laps about how good Montez Sweat looked and improved their team, but I think that they traded a pick for a player that they had to pay market rate for, who's like good. I think he's like ideally your second best pass rusher. So like, I don't know. I'm just not so like, there's a part of me that wants to take a step back on like just like assuming that they've figured it out on defense.
Does that get countered a little bit by having a more functional offense? And I mean, I guess their offense wasn't horrible, but you know, having like a potentially above average, if only slightly, offense does mean that the defense is put into some less disadvantageous positions.
It's possible. I think their offense was really like sort of like a ball control offense, like more than anything less.
Yeah.
Maybe helps the defense. But I mean, certainly there's cause for optimism in Chicago. Like if this dude is the dude that we think he is, they're going to be good for a while. But he's a quarterback playing in Chicago. Never gone well before. And I'm just
Matt is helmet scouting. That is interesting.
That was a joke, Bryce. Thank you.
No.
Never worked out before. Listen, I'm not betting against Caleb. Like I think he's that dude. Like he's got some Anthony Edwards in him. Like I see that. So, but I'm pumping my brakes on the Bears a little bit. There's the hype train. It's getting a little bit out in front of me. That's all I'm saying.
There is a lot of hype, but we've seen in the past how Bears fans react when there's a lot of hype, and it got Mitch Trubisky to a Pro Bowl. So they're going to show up to the polls.
Now you're next level. You accuse me of helmet scouting, but you're fan base scouting Pro Bowl votes now.
Hey man, I feel like it was like one game that got him that one with like 6 touchdowns or something, right?
No. Michael Kist and I remember this vividly because this was the first fall I was at SIS, and or maybe it was the second fall. Maybe I don't remember it vividly, but Michael Kist and I, back when I was less professional on Twitter, were always dealing with marauding Bears fans asserting that Mitch Trubisky was very, very good.
There were there was a while during that year when people were like, he's playing pretty well. He's going to be that guy. And like, they, I don't know what the hell they were watching. Total Points was watching. He was never good according to Total Points. So
did we ever...
John DeWan, the old owner of SIS, Chicago Bears fan himself, kept asking me that year, why doesn't he look good on our stats? Why doesn't Mitch... And I said, because Mitch Trubisky's not good. And then it bore out. And he was like, okay, I believe in what we're doing on the football thing here.
What were we talking about again? All right, James, you're up.
All right, so since everyone is scared to, I am going to look at the AFC running backs and take a look at Raheem Mostert, James Cook, and Derrick Henry and think to myself, there's room for rotation there. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to Cincinnati, and I'm not picking Zach Moss. I'm taking Chase Brown.
You had me so excited that whole lead up, and then you were just like, the aristocrats.
I had to dig for a little bit for this one. He got some looks from week 13 on last year, and he's a bruiser, tied for second from week 13 on in yards after contact, eighth in broken tackle, missed tackle attempt per attempt. There's a void there in an offense that's sure to see production volume. He can catch the ball out of the backfield and show that big playability. He had an 80-yard touchdown reception last year. Granted, it was a screen, but they'll be showing down the field how he can get there. But it will be him and Zach Moss in the backfield for Cincinnati. But I don't know. I kind of feel that Chase Brown has the leg up to take that starting spot in Cincinnati in an offense that's going to produce.
Tying it into presumably productive offense is, we sort of alluded to this earlier, is a decent idea. Yeah, my AFC running back name was Tyjae Spears, which similar, you know, guy who's in a work split with multiple players who are, you know, guys who are switching teams and all that kind of thing. So very similar story, but a big difference for Brown is, yeah, we theoretically trust that offense to be more reasonably productive.
It's interesting how a lot of you guys, like you were saying before, the theory's been like, who performs statistically well in ways that we think could lead to things in the future. My whole thing was like, who did I love coming out of college that hasn't made a Pro Bowl yet?
Yeah.
Because I want Bijan for that. I really do. And then, like, they're going to have more balance offensively. So I think he'll get used in the passing game. Yeah, your picks are decent also.
All right. With the last pick, Mr. Irrelevant, some might say.
Now, Purdy already made a Pro Bowl.
I feel like you can't have fewer than, like, 100 picks in the draft and still refer to the last player as irrelevant.
Oh, yeah? Have you ever heard of the National Basketball Association?
I was thinking just within the realm of football, but yeah, that's a fair. It's pretty good.
Not out Isaiah Thomas.
What is the cutoff for a pick being meaningful in basketball? Like 14 pick?
It's only late. Yes,
I know. I know the lottery is 14 or whatever, but even late lottery picks don't feel great. But
Nikola Jokic might have
not this year. Not in this year's draft class. It's brutal in basketball this year.
I don't follow. So. I just watched Anthony Edwards highlights when they pop up on my timeline. But man, okay, so I kind of wish I had another pick because I'm a little torn between two guys here. I think my stronger conviction is Anthony Richardson.
Love it.
And that's who I thought Matt was going to take first.
No, he was on my short list. I like him for you better.
I don't have a great statistical argument for him. Because he was like 18th in total points before he went down with injury on a per snap basis, which is not great. But
it's not terrible for rookie quarterback. Like rookie quarterback, you either suck or don't suck. And then you have like CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
He was definitively in the don't suck camp for a few games.
Yeah. I think he was very impressive on film. The other thing I'll say is that I think it's fair to expect a lot of rushing production from him. And that always bodes well for a player's Pro Bowl candidacy. But I love the player coming out. I think he looked better than I expected him to before he went down with injury. I don't have much else to say, but besides, I love the vibes. So I'll go with Anthony Richardson here, but I will give an honorable mention to Zoomer Jamal Charles, Dewan Achane. I was torn between him and Richardson for this last pick.
I love both of your options there. I think they're right on.
And does anybody else want to do honorable? We can do honorable mentions real quick if we'd like.
I feel like me and Alex already threw out like 12 names each. So
maybe I got one Bryce Young.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised Matt didn't make a Bryce Young joke because I know he.
No. My Snoop Huntley joke was top notch.
It was good.
Yeah, so I sort of had two running backs that I would basically just decide that I would only use if other things got taken or whatever. My other one was Khalil Herbert, more Bears stuff. Basically a commentary on that he was facing a lot of stacked boxes last year, and DeAndre Swift was facing not a lot of stacked boxes, and Herbert was a lot more, if you sort of balance the scales there, their performance balances out a lot more. So I think that he has a legit shot to like eat into the time.
Nope, not making a Pro Bowl next.
I'm but the nice thing is you didn't name a person there, so we can just cut that and use it for whomever.
That should be a button we should use on future podcasts. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
After it's like a tag after any player is named who's not good.
Yeah, I'm with it.
No, but I would like to point out that Alex is the only one that identified defensive backs, which is very brave, stunning and brave.
Definitely brave.
Well, yeah.
So it's interesting because he leaned into that those guys are harder to predict. So like anybody could pop onto the scene as that, you know, Deron Bland this year or whatever. But then for me, I was just thinking like, nope, I'm pretty sure Rashawn Gary's good. Like
different strokes.
Okay. So to recap, Matt took Rashawn Gary, Jalen Carter, and Marvin Harrison Jr., which was very underheaded. James took Drake London, Bryce Huff, and Chase Brown.
Nice.
Alex took Jaden Reed, Jaquan Brisker, and Martin Emerson Jr., and I had Chris Olave, Devontae Wyatt, and Anthony Richardson.
Solid. Yeah, I just got to say, I love all of our lists except Alex's, and if any of Alex's come true, then all credit to Alex. All hail the nerds. You win.
That's why you got to do it. You got to shoot for the moon.
I love everybody's list except Matt's.
Whoa.
That's potentially faulty.
Yeah, Matt's is...
Okay, Bijan. Sub in Bijan if you don't want Marvin Harrison. We're good.
You know, it's on the record that you like Marvin Harrison Jr. We'll be sure to note it. All right. For my colleagues, Alex Ergeben, James Weaver, Matt Manishirian, and our executive producer, Justin Stein, I am Bryce Rossler. Thank you for listening to the SIS Off the Charts Football Podcast.